You heard it right here, right now from the beat.
The new ivory is mammoth.
What do you guys want to know? I've done way too much research on dinosaurs.
Almost a larger than life figure.
No reason at all to think it was made by aliens.
Drop down and go swimming as fast as you can. Out of whale.
All these big giants, give me a kiss and tell me they don't.
The crowd, just the pop, the loudness, the excitement, the electricity.
I don't know if I can take your little Canadian destroyer.
The future is scary, but it's also wonderful.
Good morning, America, and sweet dreams, Japan, and welcome everybody to the podcast where genuine meets uncensored, where Ikuzo means more than just let's go, unscriptified podcast. I hope you enjoyed our last interview with Johnny, but now is the time to go solo and go balls deep with our thoughts. Video games like Cyberpunk 2077, movies like Blade Runner 2049, books as Altered Carbon, animes like Ghost in the Shell, some of the finest examples of the cyberpunk genre and one of many possibilities that awaits the future generations or maybe even this generation. Is cyberpunk topic something that belongs to fiction or is it the theme to think about and wonder what is the dark side of our increasingly technologically driven future? Will the world be dominated by mega corporations? Corporations will society decay and thus gritty urban landscapes awaits lenses of future. All of that in today's episode of yours truly, Unscriptified Podcast. Luca, are you ready? Oh, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. After a long time, we are solo because there was obviously time between the seasons and the interview, so we are back on it, as they say.
Back on track.
Obviously, this is, some would say that some parts...
Before we continue with the topic of cyberpunk, I would like to give shout out to our brothers in Bermuda, where we got chartered in the meantime.
Yes, we got
kudos to them.
Chartered in Bermuda... Very nice.
Great people.
Great people. Nice place to live. No corporate taxes. I think even no income taxes.
Beautiful beaches.
Yes. Commonwealth part. Are they part of Commonwealth? They should.
I think they are. They have Union Jack on flag, so they must.
Yeah, most certainly they are. So shout out to them. Our friends in Bermuda, they don't live the cyberpunk, certainly with their geography and landscapes and things like that. But some people would say that places like Tokyo, like Seoul, like even some American cities, Shenzhen, for example, in China also, they live so this near cyberpunk reality in some sense. And it is quite interesting because cyberpunk in popular media it was a creation of we reached the point where technology is obviously not just we think now we're addicted to technology, but now in that moment we are inseparable, truly inseparable, and we reached the point where it doesn't even. We almost maximize it where the improvement of our lives. Of technology seems almost invisible in some sense.
We've all adapted technology to our biology and vice versa.
Yes, but there's the question because now we when our hip goes to shit, we replace it with artificial hip that is not as good as the real one, the real one. Mm-hmm. So somebody cuts off your arm right now. Currently, we cannot replace it.
I hope not, but.
We cannot replace it with cyberkinetic arm like in the movies, and it moves the same as the real arm, right? But in the cyberpunk realities, they can. But the question also is, because you see some cyberpunk works, it's not about this part of my body, something is not working with it. Something is bad, I lost it. But it's, I don't need this part to be organic anymore. Mm-hmm. I want it actually to be mechanical because the mechanical is better. You know, it seems like that's the part of the future that we are most certainly going, where we will be like, you know what, the regular teeth are for shit. So let's replace the teeth. Let's, you know, your leg hurts and you replace leg. And what at one point in the future, I think it will be as easy as going into a bar and saying, listen, I need new arm. Fix me up with a new arm. And you have various custom designs and features for the rich and things like that. But, that will be the future. And also it's the thing because, like I mentioned, some of those cities, like architecture, I think when you look at, for example, work like Judge Dredd in 2012 movie with Kyle Orban, which was fantastic.
Never watched it.
You will watch it. It's phenomenal. I know you like
Kyle. I won't watch it. You cannot force me. You will watch it, and I won't.
Okay. But I thought because you like Kyle Orban, maybe. But it's fantastic. It's fantastic film because...
If you said you should watch it, maybe I would watch it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But Citizens...
Nobody orders me around.
In that world, citizens live, like a whole society lives in one giant building. Mm. And you see the stories with 15-minute cities and almost these close-gated communities that have world of their own. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's not too much sci-fi. Like, you know, when we think of a future, maybe we overestimate sometimes capabilities and the realities. But this is very real. Like, I could imagine that building getting so big, you know, the whole society lives there, you know, these 15-minute cities talks. Some of that is already kind of starts to build in our own reality, don't you think?
Yeah, but I mean, cyberpunk itself, it's not just this thematic visually for buildings, for physical stuff, for body parts and everything. It's kind of the crucial part for this genre is, of course, what led it to this cyberpunk reality, society. It's often, you know, the story of some big company owning monopoly on the market and making this and that and forcing it on everybody and similar.
It already happened with East Indian Company.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah.
I know the point you want.
Yeah. But it's... Have you wondered, for example, back in our days, especially generations before ours, they all basically daily read and wrote.
Yes.
When, apart from the university, when was the last time you took some time to write something apart from your telephone?
Even it's not exactly what you mean, but I do sometimes write my daily tasks on paper, actually, because it forces me to kind of take them more seriously. But serious writing or something like writing a letter, for example, nothing like that, you know.
Yeah, because I see it with my nephews and with kids nowadays. Their writing capabilities, they are not on level of ours.
No.
And they do not use it often. They do, apart from school, of course, today. But in some schools, like, for example, in Tokyo and Seoul, they use iPads, they use laptops. My nephew in Vienna used laptop from the fourth grade. What book?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And what happens when you take this phone from them, you know, with integrated keyboard and everything, with auto-speech to letter and everything? And you have all those, and I'm going to sound a little bit... conspirative, but all those rich guys, they don't give their kids all those great technological minds, they don't give them their technologies like iPad, like we know the famous quote from the Steve Jobs, who didn't let his kids to use iPads, iPhones and similar. They send their kids to the finest schools where they learn calligraphy and everything, and
dealer doesn't consume.
Yeah, and what happens when you have this minority, which is exceptional in education, which is exceptional in simple skills today, like writing and reading, and you have masses of future generations which won't be able to profoundly speak, write, and read.
Yes.
Who speaks to each other today, for example, you know?
Exactly.
And where are we? Back at the Stone Age? To hieroglyphs? We use emojis?
Yes, yes. We are in a sense, and that's the thing also about the names of cyberpunk, where people are so dependent on technology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even about, like today, you see people...
Inseparable, like you said.
Inseparable. It just goes one level beyond, you know, because, you know, right now I have to take this phone, I have to open it, and, you know, write the password and enter it.
Mm-hmm.
But soon, I will, from my hand, there will be like, you know, a hologram of it. And some people don't even have to do that. They with their eye, right? With with fingerprint, which I'm a paranoid. I cannot do that. You know, so people are truly becoming inseparable in every way or around technology. I mean, can you imagine if somebody, you drop the tourist today in the city and you don't, you say, no use of Google Maps. Here is the real map for you.
Mm.
Here's a real map, and you found your way to the hotel. I mean,
yeah, but Google tells you the road.
Yeah, exactly. But there's the thing, and it's not a bad thing. That's like a very cool, you know, feature. But I'm saying, you know, a lot of people are losing like a real life
sense
of anything, and you know, that's the thing about the cyberpunk reality is people become almost desensitized to the humanity in sense.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's why those, which is beautiful aesthetic, you see sometimes in movies, especially for example, like you see these buildings obviously shining with the neon lights, and but there's always that bleakness to it, almost sort of creeping depression around it,
gritty.
You know? Yes, you know, it's almost like a living gray color, you know, although it seems futuristic and super amazing and things like that. It carries almost with itself like those urban depression, which is not urban anymore, almost.
To sound poetically, you know, I must say that it would be refreshing even today at this time to go offline for some time, you know, and just to break the silence. Because in all those online stuff we are doing, this podcast is online, this recording is working online.
And we didn't have the internet to start it off.
Yeah. Yeah. And we wouldn't have the episode if we didn't have.
Yes.
Yeah. But all those beautiful things can happen even without internet, even without networks and similar stuff. And maybe it will be more beautiful to be offline for some time than to be online. And online world is oh my God. But it's also beautiful in some sense.
Yes, but like, think about this. In a cyberpunk world, there's also that theme of
there's always rebellion.
Yes, but there's also that capitalism society, right? Where, like in RoboCop, the police is privatized, and you know, there's that theme, like you mentioned, the company, which becomes overlord, and that is also kind of appearing, which is not hyper capitalism, but what people mix capitalism is all about competition, and no company could ever get big like that if you truly applied market capitalism principles and competition. But what generally people think about without too much knowledge about it, you have these companies, and some of these companies they are overlords, although not like East Indian Company, which rule the world. But some of these companies are truly like, they're bigger than countries. I mean, a lot of companies in America are bigger than our country by GDP.
Right. By a lot of countries.
By a lot of countries. Obviously, ours is very easy to
yeah.
override.
Yeah, decent billionaire is richer than our countries.
Yes. but it's good. That is kind of crazy that there are companies that produce, they have more employees than some countries have citizens. They're all world in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
When you see the gigafactories and the overreaching power that...
And that's probably why the people on the top of those companies are so out of reach and so out of this world.
Well, absolutely.
They basically do not live in reality.
Yes, I mean, I repeat it always.
And together with them, you have the corrupt politicians, which is also a crucial part of cyberpunk, you know, trope and everything. It's always some web of corruption, the main character going against it, rebellion.
Yeah, it's always like, that small part of society on the lower levels of those buildings, high buildings, that's like Akira or things like that. Yeah, but it's in that way, like, I always remember it when people said when Bob Iger was trying to run for president of the United States, this would be a step down in power.
Yeah,
if he actually, which wasn't far from the truth. Like, a CEO of Disney is one of the most powerful people on earth.
Yeah,
like, the influence that person has is gigantic.
Yeah, you own media, you own cinemas, you own entertainment,
you educate children.
You educate children more than school. I was more educated from movies than from school, basically, in the first grade.
Absolutely. And they were my overlords. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, Apple, think about what is it now? Market capitalization, like $2-3 trillion.
They passed that mark recently, right?
Yes, I think so.
Most people aren't interested in just one topic.
Don't settle for a podcast about just one subject. That rhymed.
Greetings. We're technically a conversation, a podcast for curious people by curious people.
On our podcast, we do things just a little bit different.
Every week, we share a new topic, and the other hosts have no idea what the topic will be.
Our topics are all over the place, from light and funny to dark and sometimes spooky.
We've covered everything from true crime, historical events and people, the supernatural and the occult.
I like that.
Urban legends and folklore.
My favorite.
No matter what we cover, we try to make the episodes interesting and funny.
Don't mean to be the bad guy, but our lawyer said we legally couldn't call our show funny.
We have a lawyer?
Let me tell you what I told our lawyer. Come here so I can show you how far I can legally stick my high-heeled boot up your...
Check us out at technicallyaconversation.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Technically a conversation.
We're like a lifestyle brand.
Yeah.
That is absolutely fucking sane. That is a country of its own, you know, that's stronger than country of its own. Like, and it rules lives. Like, people worship Apple. There are people right now, as we're speaking, on internet, actually arguing with other people which phone is better, from Apple or from Samsung. Just buy whatever the fuck you like.
Yeah, and if some kid is just collapsing in the Chinese gulag there.
Yes.
Making those bars.
Elon Musk.
And China is also a great example of cyberpunk reality.
Yes, with the social credit system.
Yeah, right? Social credit system, surveillance and everything.
Surveillance, massive thing, like Minority Report, you know, future crimes, you know what I mean. And you have a city, if you see their cities, like those high-tech, almost dystopias, like Shenzhen and Shanghai and
Singapore.
Singapore also, it really adds to that aesthetic almost, which is, you know, kind of frightening. But you know, to think about it, I think the number of surveillance cameras, if I remember reading correctly, was over a billion in 2021. So think about from that, from 2021, probably the number is higher now in 2024.
And there is no possible efficient way to control such power. Right? It's logical.
Yes, I mean, but besides destroying cameras.
Yeah. But how many cameras can you destroy?
Yes, I mean, the for your own safety. But if I remember, I don't know if this is accurate, but I remember reading somewhere that the kind of also, was it official? It doesn't sound, maybe it's like a soundbite conspiracy or whatever, but that there were talks about in Chinese government to also... cameras to almost to have a camera for two citizens, if you know what I mean. Like, there's a camera for every two people.
Yeah,
like, can you imagine that is like, wow.
And that's great per capita ratio.
Yes, and I mean, so, and then you add that camera recognizes your eyeball and fingerprints and
touch sensor recognition,
the fingerprint, and you create this really disturbing reality that it's quite possible.
And on the other hand, with all those power that came with the online world, world and with networks, and all those people who have this power in their hands, and if actually we would go offline to the various reason, multiple variables there, what would they do?
It would be like
they would lose the leverage, of course. But I mean, how would they cope with such a loss?
Well, no, but I mean, I know
you would rebuild.
There's a movie you watched already, which is great, Ready Player One.
Yeah, I wanted to mention it.
Which kind of plays to the theme of people not leaving the virtual world. And you see, in a few scenes, you see where they live. Where they live is absolute shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like favela, you know, because nobody cares anymore what they do outside.
Yeah, but Ready Player One, it's of course the movie where, and the book, where virtual and virtual world and reality, this thin line is not blurring. It's non-existent, actually.
Yes. It's one of the versions, possibilities.
Yeah, but do you feel like this particular movie doesn't explore what usually is explored in cyberpunk movies, like the nature of humanity itself? Because all those characters, in some sense, when they are in the real life, which is very often in the movie, actually.
Yes.
If you think about it, they do not question themselves as humans.
No.
You know, they just, and there's a lot of humans who do not use virtual world, of course, in that world. Because they don't have money and they are wishing to have money so they could join the virtual world.
Indeed.
Yeah.
They do not actually question anything in that movie particularly. I mean, they
except pop-up ads.
They just realize that they are living in world of lies, but they kind of accept it in a sense.
And it's fun.
It is in a various ways because they become so desensitized to reality, they don't care anymore. While in many of the cyberpunk works, you obviously have some sort of rebellion, you know, going on. Those things obviously make for a great story in those movies and books. Will we rebel as a society when these things kind of come along? Who knows? Probably not.
I think... In some way, a rebellious spirit is our nature. So
yes, but
if you look at history,
I don't think it's also
sometimes late, but it's still
But I don't think it's realistic also to think that the whole world will look like that.
Yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah,
you know, certainly here we will look like that because we got the amount of money.
for
the buildings
here won't matter because we will all immigrate to other countries in the meantime.
Yes.
Maybe
Chinese come to live here.
Yeah, maybe this will be the sanctuary, you know, for AI war.
Yes. But the national would be quite a beauty for those. imagine. But obviously, I mean, think about it in Japan and South Korea and China.
There are fucking robots there. So what do I have to think about it?
They don't fuck because the birth rates are catastrophe. So that tells
and you, they have robots.
Yes, and I mean that tells the society is failing in many sense. Yeah. Whatever some demographic cunt wants to say about the cost of living and shit.
Yeah.
People were happy, truly. They would fuck.
Essentially, yes.
Yes. You know, they wouldn't care about the living conditions and all. It would be like, survive, bitch, till the end of time. You know?
So we are all happy men here.
and think about it, in Tokyo, you can live in those 20, you know, square meter apartments, which is, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't care about people.
Why they need more?
You don't care about family. You don't care about coworkers. You're not going out. You just put your VR set on head in those 20 square meters and, you know,
and talk with your wife.
And talk, yes. I mean, you probably made it with AI, right? And some shit like that, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Also great example of. Also one of the movies that it's not so cyberpunkish as Alice, but it's great on the topic of fucking AI. Phenomenal movie. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's probably more accurate depiction of the future in my viewing than all those cyberpunks like Blade Runner and similar. Hell, fuck with our operating systems. And
plays games and games, you know. Yeah.
But world essentially looks the same.
Yes. Which probably, you know, probability that incredible sci-fi change in the landscapes and the irregular does not happen so fast.
Yeah, thousands of years.
So, yeah.
Probably.
Who knows if we all die by that time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you can already kind of fuck with your AI, so.
Yeah.
Only kind of there, you know.
Yeah. But I'll lay the theme for the next day and go to the quote.
Yes.
And I choose a quote from Yugoslavian writer Miloš Crnjanski. And he said in our language, u budućnost treba ići. U budućnost gledaju i idu svi srećni narodi. And translated to English, it will be, in future, you should go. In future, look and go, all happier people. I doubt it.
I doubt that they're happy people.
Yeah. But until happier future, stay tuned for the next week.
We stay genuine, uncensored and unscripted, and we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us and subscribe us and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Iguzo!